these three Sundays before Lent illustrate the three things we need to do. We need to do bodily mortification, and that was exemplified or illustrated in last Sunday's epistle, where St. Paul talks about chastising his body and bringing it into subjection, lest even he fall away. So St. Paul recognized that need for doing penance, and so the church puts that epistle there on this on Septuagesima Sunday. The second thing we need to do more of during Lent is more prayer. And that is illustrated by today, St. Paul beseeching God to remove a problem from his life. And I'll speak about this a little bit later. And then the third thing we need to do more of during Lent is works of charity. And next Sunday we will have the famous epistle on charity by St. Paul. So how well the church prepares us for the holy season of Lent. And I've mentioned this to you before, but even the first 3 days of Lent repeat these three lessons. And it's from the gospel, I believe, this time. The gospel on Ash Wednesday will talk about mortification. The gospel on the day after will talk about earnest prayer, more prayer, and then the Friday after Ash Wednesday will speak about the works of charity. So as the old saying goes, repetition is the essence of learning. So Holy Mother the Church does certainly a very good job, always does, in teaching us what we need to do. What I would like to explore today is that very thorny problem that all of us experience. Maybe we're struggling with it right now. It's the problem of unanswered prayers. We know that there have been times, more than just a few times in our lives, where we prayed for something that seemed to be so necessary for us. And we asked, and we asked, we begged, we pleaded, and the answer seemed to be no. Or maybe we felt like there was no answer at all. Haven't we felt this more recently, especially in the last year, with all the intentions, the serious things we were praying for, and it seems that many prayers were unanswered. And I can't help but think about this because in today's epistle, St. Paul is begging for something to be taken away. It says that he asked God three times, but interpreters say that's a way of illustrating that it was more than just a few times. And what was this thorn of the flesh, this messenger of Satan? There are different answers given by scripture interpreters. One of them is that it was a physical infirmity, which would not be surprising at all. After all, when we read St. Paul talking about all of the beatings, the scourgings, the stoning that he received, the shipwrecks, he may have had lifelong injuries, very likely from that. And he was begging God, please take it away. It's too much for me. And he recognizes why God allowed this just a couple of sentences before, lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up. That's why God was allowing this great difficulty in his life. Why, by the way, did St. Paul talk about all that he had suffered, and even talked about being taken up to heaven, into the third heaven? Because he had to prove to the Corinthians that he was not doing this for any personal, selfish, prideful reasons. He was doing this for the sake of God and for the sake of their souls. He had to suffer so much, he couldn't have been in it for himself. Look at the price he had to pay. So as great as he was suffering for Christ and the great things that God revealed to him, and seemingly he doesn't seem to directly say it, but it seems pretty obvious, he's the one that was taken up to the third heaven. So he has a lot that he could boast of, take pride in, but that would have been fatal to his work. Pride ruins everything. And so God humbles St. Paul, this great St. Paul who suffered so much, who experienced so many things, who had direct revelations from God. We can just imagine him groveling on the ground with this difficulty. Please take it away. How humbling that was, but how necessary was that humility for St. Paul. So it could have been a physical infirmity, some interpreted as temptations, particularly in the area against purity. After all, he says, a thorn for the flesh. So that's another one. And there's a third possibility. It was all of the resistance that he experienced. Everybody going, so many people going against him. So whatever it was bringing him really down. And it seemed so obvious to him, please God, take it away. And God doesn't take it away. And he says, my grace is sufficient. So what we really should say is there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer, because that would imply that God just doesn't care, he's never listening. That would be the wrong way to describe it. A better way to say is to say that God always answers our prayers. And there's three ways of answering. It's yes, it's no, or it's later. If something we're asking for would be harmful to us, would detract much from our heavenly reward, then God, because he loves us, he says no. I always think about, in this regard, people who pray to win the lottery. I prayed so hard to get the winning ticket, and I didn't win. But we know human nature. To all of a sudden have that much instant wealth would ruin most people. You'd have to be very strong spiritually to get that much money quickly, you know, and not let it seriously be harmful or work against your spiritual life. Because God loves people, that's why most of the time he doesn't answer that prayer. Now, if it's something we need right away, especially if we're in temptation or a challenge or a particular difficulty, we need help right now, God will always say yes. But many things in our lives we do not need right at the moment, and that's why God has us pray very, very long periods of time. And this is the challenge, to not get discouraged in prayer, to not give up in prayer, to not give in to that feeling, God didn't hear me. Yes, he did. He absolutely hears every one of us. But think about this, if we always got right away whatever we asked for, wouldn't we become spoiled and fall into that terrible problem of taking things for granted, which would, of course, nourish that sense of entitlement. It was owing to me because I asked. That's the flip or the difficulty with gifts. If the more gifts we receive, the more that tendency to just take it for granted, it's always going to be there, it's always going to be given to us. We don't want to fall into that. It is actually good for us to have to persevere in prayer no matter how long, how many years, how many months, or whatever. But it might be asked, why do we pray when we can't change God? We can't change God's mind. He never undergoes any change. But here's the point. God already knew from all eternity that you would pour forth all these prayers. And because of that, he grants your prayer. He answers your prayer with a yes. So we don't change God, but he knows from all eternity all the prayers we will say, and for that reason, it makes a real difference. Prayer always makes a difference. We're told by the Catechism that if God doesn't say yes to a request and says a no instead, he will always give us something else. And so often you read the saint saying it's even something better in the spiritual order anyway. So we don't change God, but God already knew all of our prayers. And so again, it absolutely makes a difference. Prayer does more things than the world has even dreamed of, is a famous saying. Even though we don't see the results, good things are always happening. And that leads to the second point. We can't change God, but prayer always changes us for the better. No matter how long we have to pray for something, every time we are doing so, we're exercising virtue, we're exercising humility, we're exercising faith, we're exercising confidence, we're exercising perseverance, we're exercising other virtues and good habits as well. Just the physical act of getting on our knees is a virtuous act. And as I said, all of those virtues come into play. How can this not be good for us? So prayer always works, just not in the way that we often expect it to or want it to. And hence, there has to be that condition we put in our prayers, if it be the will of God. We don't have to mention it out loud, but it should be there, that if it's for my good, may this prayer be granted. Intercession, prayer for others, what a difference it makes. And the Bible is full of examples of intercession. One holy person praying for somebody else, or even if you're not so holy, still praying. The holier you are, of course, the more powerful your prayer is. But the Holy Scriptures are filled with examples. St. Paul is himself said, pray for me, lest I become a castaway. So St. Paul is our great inspiration in these three, well, he always is, but in these three Sundays before Lent in particular. And what a great saint to get to know better and to emulate. Try to imitate him. Take these wonderful works, these wonderful words to heart. And when you feel your weakness, again, think of St. Paul, of God speaking to him directly, saying, strength is made perfect in weakness. And so St. Paul then resolves this great question of seemingly unanswered prayers with, I will glory in my infirmities, because then the strength of Christ is more obviously in me and dwelling in me and assisting me. Persevere in prayer. Never give up in prayer. Get better at prayer. Keep becoming a better prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.